welcome to our carol service 2012. Hard to believe where the year is going, I know, but it's great to see just a packed house. And with such a full house and with so many visitors, we'll do our usual tradition. If you want to just shake the hands and say hello to someone around you, give them a warm welcome. That's great. We're just going to start the service off in prayer just before we get into the carol singing and all the different activities and surprises that we have planned for you tonight. We're just going to start the service off by speaking to God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the chance just to come into this building tonight, Father, where we can sing praises. We can sing carols that remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you just for the festive period. We thank you just for the joy. And Lord, just the time that we get to spend with family and all of the fun and festivities. And Lord, we just pray for this next hour, Lord, that as we sing carols and as we just watch and hear the different things that are going on, we ask that the name of Jesus would be glorified and lifted up tonight. We ask that the thoughts of our mind and the focus of our heart would be on him tonight. Lord, we just thank you for each and every head that's in here. We thank you, Lord, that you know each and every person. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves because you created us. And we thank you that you have a plan for each and every one of us. So, Lord, tonight we just lift up the name of Jesus. We ask that as we sing and as we hear from your word tonight, that, Lord, that Jesus would be glorified and we would come to understand who he is and what Christmas really means more and more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a packed schedule tonight. Excuse me. We're going to start by singing hymn number 142, Hark the Herald. Immediately after that, we're going to have the Sunday school come up and do a few different things for us. And we have different readings tonight. So instead of announcing every step that's going to happen, I'm going to announce two or three things just in advance. So we'll have Hark the Herald, we'll have the Children's Church come on up, and then we're going to have our first reading of the night from the Sunday school of Gail McConnell. So if you'll stand with me, and we'll sing Hark the Herald 142. Thanks. Thank you.
Our first reading tonight is from God's Word in Genesis chapter 22, 15 to 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen.
Meg, did you get an invitation to Jamie's birthday party?
Yes, are you going?
Do you not think we could have a better party without Jamie?
But it's his birthday. How can we have a birthday party without the person whose birthday it is?
But we could have better fun without him. Jamie will spoil the fun. We could give presents to each other. We could even have a cake with candles on and send each other birthday cards. It would be great. Lots of people do this.
Do they? I'm not sure. A birthday party without the birthday person, it just seems a little weird.
Are you rushing around this Christmas, buying presents, sending cards, putting up the Christmas tree, buying lots of lovely food, but have you forgotten whose birthday it is? Are you going to celebrate this Christmas without a thought of what Christmas is all about?
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Love it. first reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen.
Didn't the children's church do really well there? Why don't we give them another round of applause as they come off? It certainly helps us feel a bit more Christmassy as well, doesn't it? Just to move on now in the service, we're going to have our church secretary, William Annette, come and do the announcements. And then following that, we'll have our third reading from the GB with Jennifer Kelso doing that. Thank you.
Our next reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kindness, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Well, we're going to have a chance now to try to sing as well as the boys and girls have done. We're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. If you have a book, it's number 151. We'll remain seated just as we sing this, and we'll also lift the offering during it. So just before we sing, we'll praise God in prayer. Father, we thank you that we are such a blessed people, Father. We thank you that financially we're better off than most of the rest of the world. But Father, we want to give our offering to you tonight out of love for how much you love us. Lord, we ask that you would take this money and you'd use it, that the name of Jesus would go out, Father, to those who have never heard it. We ask these things in his name. Amen. So we'll remain seated and sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
seats. We're going to have a reading from the BB by Samuel Nelson, and then we have a soloist tonight, Heather Cuthbert, who we all know well, will come and sing a piece, and then we'll have a reading from the Youth Club by Rachel Bailey. So thank you.
The next reading is from Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
This is a song called We Have a Savior. Been given King of our freedom, sing for the light has come. This is Christmas, come and adore him and bring gifts before him. Joy to the world, worship the sun. This is Christmas, this is Jesus, Emmanuel, here with us. Tell all the world, we have a Savior, we have a Savior, we are no longer lost, for He has come down to us, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. Sing with the angels, lift up your voices, join in the song of hope. This is Christmas, this is Jesus, Emmanuel, here with us. We have a Savior, we are no longer lost, for He has come down to us. We have a Savior, we have a Savior, and His love will reign forever. His love will reign forever. His love will He has come down for us.
The reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's our turn to sing again. We're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. It's only on the PowerPoint. It's not in your hymn books. But we'll, if you want to stand for this one and really belt it out. After that, we'll have a reading from the Youth Fellowship by Amy Bullard.
Thank you.
The next reading is found in Luke 2, verses 1 to 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for it shall be to all people. For unto you is this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
So before you phone the white coats to come get me and think this guy's flipped out and put on his dressing gown, I want you to use a little bit of imagination. And we've just heard the passage read out of the angels appearing to who? The shepherds, right? So I don't look too crazy then. So for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you the shepherd story. I've called it the shepherd's prologue. So this is just after the angels have appeared. It was in the last day or two. So I'm just a poor, normal, hard-working shepherd. I've been tending my sheep with my friends on the hills of Bethlehem near Jerusalem. Just a normal guy. It was a really bitter, cold, and dark night last night. And me and my friends, we were just standing around and just chatting about things. And all of a sudden, the darkness went like that, and it was as if it was the noonday sun. Just brightness everywhere. And an angel appeared to us. And I'd heard on the grapevine that an angel had appeared to a priest called Zechariah and a woman called Mary. Some of my friends had told me that. But, you know, it's been 400 years since we have heard anything from God through the prophets. So I figured, well, I don't know if that's true or not. But last night, an angel appeared to me. And, you know, it completely stunned us. And, you know, just before the angel appeared, we were huddling together, me and the other shepherds, and we were talking. And we were having that discussion, you know, the one where you're talking about all the latest events, and we'd heard about how something terrible had happened, and we heard about a disaster. And people were saying, where is God in that? Does God still exist? Does God still care? Does he know anything that's going on this earth? You know the kind, don't you? The conflicts and the tragedies, or mass murders of children, or floods, and people always ask, where was God in that? Well, we were having this discussion with each other, and it seemed like God had been so quiet for so long. And, you know, I maybe used to believe more strongly that God knew what was going on in this world and that God loved this world. And, you know, I was thinking about those tragedies that had been going on in my day, and I knew why they were going on. My parents had taught me well since I was a little shepherd's boy, that each and every one of us is born with sin. We're born with a sinful nature, and that means that we can hurt other people, and that means that we definitely can hurt God himself, because we reject God. So in all of these atrocities and all of these things going on, here we were just on a hillside near Bethlehem talking. And I knew that just all these questions of where is God, and where was God in that event, I knew it was more because of something in man's heart. And, you know, from my forefathers right the way through for the last 1,000 years, we've had a promise from God that we've been clinging to. Ever since the world was created, and then it was made perfectly. Ever since then, man came along when God made him, and you know the story through Adam and Eve, how man fell. Sin came into the world. And ever since then, the world has been a broken place. But right from that moment, God made a promise to man. He promised that a Savior would come, a Deliverer would come, who could deal with man's sin problem. And that was told by my father to me, and his father before him, and his father before him. And we have been waiting for that for thousands of years. And there was different times in history where we thought maybe the Savior had come. Whenever Moses delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, we thought, is this the promised Deliverer to come? But Moses died, and he didn't deal with our sin problem. And then, years after that, King David came. And we thought, surely this is the promised Deliverer. Surely this is the one whom God has sent to take care of our sin problem. But David had his own sin problems. And then David died, and once again, it just carried on. But for thousands of years, we have been waiting for the Messiah, for the promised one to come, who could deal with the heart of our problem, the heart of all the atrocities out there, that sin problem that we have, and we have been waiting. And you know, last night, whenever the angel appeared to me, it was the most amazing thing ever, just the sight, the glory of that light. And you know, we're not usually scared. You know, we're tough men. We're out in the hills. We fight off all sorts of different animals from our sheep, but I tell you, each and every one of us last night was on our faces on the ground in the dirt. I'm not even ashamed to tell you that. It was amazing. But more amazing than the sight was what the angel said. And what the angel said was, today, the promised Deliverer has been born. Today, in my lifetime. And he appeared to me, just a normal person. For thousands of years, we've been waiting for this day. The promised Savior, the Deliverer to come, who can deal with our sin problem. And the angel said he was born today. It just blew our minds. You know, we were wondering who would come. And you know, just as the shepherds and I were talking, we realized that because of sin, we were all basically in a pit together that we tried so hard to get out of. And we tried to climb our way out, and we tried to ask each other for help out, but we just couldn't get out. Each and every one of us is in the same deep, deep, dark pit, and it was going to take someone sinless who could come and could save us from that pit. So mankind needed a Savior who was outside the pit, one who had no sin. And the Savior needed to be human to save us, but yet be perfect, the very thing that mankind isn't. You know, the amazing thing was that these angels, they didn't go to the kings and the high people of the land, but they came and they spoke to us. And just as soon as we heard it, we went to Bethlehem. And you know, whenever I always figured the Savior to come, I figured that if this is, who is this person that's going to come? And whenever the angel announced that it was going to be God himself, it just completely stunned us. Here we were waiting for so long to see the identity and when this Savior was going to come. And it was announced last night, it is God himself. It is Yahweh. It is the one who created everything. It is the Holy One. He is the perfect one. He is the glorious one. And he's here. I went and I saw myself in Bethlehem last night. And you know, if I thought that God would come to earth, I thought it would be with loud trumpets and with a fanfare and with bright lights and with glory. But you know, whenever I got there, the baby Jesus was lying in a feeding trough for animals. And he was looked just the same as any of the rest of us when we were born. God has come into the world the same way as each and every one of us has come into the world, as a helpless little baby. But yet, this is God himself. God has come. Our sin problem can be dealt with. The promise has been fulfilled for thousands of years. God promised that one would come. He is here. He has been born. He has come like none of us would have expected. He has come the same way as every one of us. But this is a turning point in history. This is history changing. This is his story now completely turning on its head. You know, God made the world perfect, and man broke it. But here God has put into action an epic rescue mission for us. This is good tidings of great joy to all people. God himself has come to save us from the consequence of our sin. And you know, if any of your friends ever asked you, if God's real, why doesn't he come down and show himself to me? Then I would believe he's real. He did! He's here! His name is Jesus! He has been born in Bethlehem. The angels have declared it. You know, people say as well that God doesn't care about us or he's forgotten about us. But today, I have seen it. The promised Savior has been born and he is God himself. God the Son, Jesus, has come to save anyone from the pit of sin who wants to be saved. And he has a body of flesh and blood. He's like us. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. Jesus is the amazing God-man. You know, and it's not just the upper class that he loves. Because he came, and the angels gave me an invitation to go see the birth of the Savior. And I don't know many of you, but I don't know what class you would say you're in, but has anyone got an invitation yet for Prince Will and Kate's birth? Has anyone got one yet? No? Well, the post is a little bit slow at the minute, but most of us were probably not the kind of people who are going to get an invitation to the birth of a king. But you know, each and every one of us has an invitation to come to the birth of the king. We have a chance to meet the Savior. Tonight I had that chance. I went and I met Jesus and I trusted in the promise that God had said that he would send someone who could deal with my sin problem. And you know what? That offer is open to every one of us. God doesn't keep Jesus as the Savior of the world just for a certain bunch of people who are higher class, but he loves each and every one of us. So the offer is there for each and every one of us to come and to meet Jesus. You know, if you want to find out more about this amazing story, if you want to find out what God says about how Jesus can rescue us from the pit of sin, if you want to find out what Christmas really means, what we are truly remembering, what it means for you today, what it means for you for eternity, I can tell you something of my story because I have met the Savior and my life has been completely changed, never to be the same again. It is indeed the good news of great joy to all men because the Savior is here and he is the only one who is able to save us, God himself. My world will never be the same again. What about yours? Can we say glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men? Can we say that and know what it means? We're going to have another reading now from the Ladies Fellowship. Lily McTurnahan is going to come up. After that, we're going to have a comeback from Sammy in the choir. Surprise kept all week for us, but we'll have Lily McTurnahan for the Ladies Fellowship. We'll have Sammy in the choir come after that, and then we'll have a reading from the Men's Fellowship. So thank you. We'll move on now.
Our next reading is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star that they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen.
Thank you. the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 and take up the reading at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen.
Thank you very much both. I hope tonight has been an encouragement to you. I hope tonight has really lifted your heart as we sing praises to the one who is the reason for the season. I've also learned something else. If you're ever cold in church, bring your dressing gown and a tea towel for your head and it'll quickly warm you up. But we're going to finish off tonight by standing and singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's a personal favorite of mine. If you have a hymn book, it's number 149. Let's stand together and let's belt this one out just as we finish in praise to our Savior who has come.
Thank you.
Before you take your seats, we'll close the service in prayer. Dear God, we thank you that we have a chance tonight to come and adore him. We thank you that we have heard the wonderful good news that the angel brought, that the Savior of the world is here. We thank you for the good news of the gospel, that all of the carnage and all of the atrocities around us, Father, they all have the root of sin, of rebellion against you. But we praise you and thank you that Jesus came to this earth and became a man to deal with that, to give us a way out, to deal with the punishment for our sin. Father, we praise you and thank you so much that because Jesus came and because he dealt with the punishment for our sin, that those who trust in him can live forevermore in a perfect environment, back to how you designed it to be. We thank you this Christmas for the coming of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God, for those who have never met Jesus, who have never seen the light of the significance of why this turned history, of why history was before Christ and then in the year of our Lord, Lord, we ask that tonight they would see this with the eyes of their heart. Lord, may we lift up our hearts in praise to you. Lord, we praise the name of Jesus for being our Savior who came to this earth and humbled himself. And Lord, now as we go our separate ways and as the busyness of the period just comes upon us, Lord, we ask that these things would remain in our minds, Lord, that we would continue to think upon the wonderment, the amazement of the Savior coming, God himself. So take us to our homes in safety now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd just like to take the chance as well on behalf of the church to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We hope you have a lovely time with friends and with family on Tuesday. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you.